What's my cue?
I'll let you know. Ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another riveting edition of the RSN Wrestling Podcast, the three-man podcast going strong since 2015, from our lips to your ears, and all the fancy stuff in between. We talk about everything, best and worst. We're just three minds in a war battle? I don't know. my metaphoricism's a little bit off today. I don't even know if metaphoricism is a word. I'm making up things as I go along. You'll have to forgive me. I just watched Contagion, so it's a little bit, it screams a little bit close to what we're going through right now. I guess they were just 9 years early, I guess, if you want to call it. But I digress. I am Nick, or you could call me NJL. I run a fancy little website called Pro Wrestling Opinion, which is your home for pro wrestling news, reviews, and interviews. And I kind of like how I got that to all rhyme. And if you're into any music or any other music aficionados out there, I also run another site called The Music Bugle, which is your avenue for up-and-coming artists on many different genres. Check it out. It's gold. Not the type that you could hold, though, but, you know, it's gold if you look at it or whatever. I think I've done my intro job pretty good. Why don't you guys come in?
Definitely. So, I mean, you put it on the right map. I mean, you said, like you said, we're 5 years strong. You know, we're still running. Three guys running this podcast. I would say this. I think you said it best. You were talking about, you know, how we're in a war battle, quote unquote. I'd say in the words of Cody Rhodes, how he used to say, he's like, this is a round table. This is Camelot. And then Kenny comes up and says, no, this is Valhalla right here. Basically, if you're talking about
we're all the King stuff, Lot, they're bitches.
Yes, exactly, you motherfucker. Yes. So, I mean, we've been doing this strong, you know, three guys. My name is Sal. I am, quote-unquote, the mastermind. And, of course, we got to let the other guy come in, too, as well. The big guy. Come on, big guy. Where'd the big guy go?
Big guy.
Big guy.
Where's the big guy?
Where you at?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my God, man.
I think big guy got squashed. I don't know who
big
he went
guy
up
got
against.
Squashed. Fuck, man. Come on. You know why? It's because he's got Apple, that's why.
He's got an iPhone. I got Apple and I'm here.
I got Apple too. I'm actually on a MacBook, matter of fact, so.
I mean, can you guys hear me?
I'm on my iPhone.
He's here. Yes, he's back. I was saying.
We thought you got squashed.
Yeah, we thought you got squashed by Apple, man.
No, it's fucking Anchor.
It's Anchor,
and
man.
Discord, all this shit's fucking up.
I know, man.
I was saying I have Apple and I'm fine. Like, I'm still here.
Yeah, it's Discord. Yeah. Sometimes it acts up.
Yeah, probably Discord.
Anyway. Yeah. This is the big Rich. I'm the main person on the Twitter and the Instagram account. I run half the Facebook account. So I'm kind of the jack of all trades, but I give that actual title to Sal. But all in all, like they summed up, we're just three minds talking about wrestling. We're at the round table. So let's take it away with our shoot.
Yes, yes. So this is our shoot. For those of you, yeah,
running the ropes.
Yeah, yeah. Or running the rope series. Yes. I mean, so for those of you that don't know, our running the rope series is basically where we just go ahead and break down all the stuff that's going on in wrestling. So starting from the, you know, from the backstage, actual ring stuff going on, all that stuff, you know, and then of course commenting on that. Of course, it's a lot. It's a strange time now, of course, with Corona and all the stuff going on. You know, of course, it's starting to die down, and things are changing. What'd you guys say?
You a little bit. Yeah, you basically, you hit it right on the head.
Yeah, a lot of shit's changing, man, I'm telling you. I mean, we talked about it before. There was a lot of releases that came out, of course, you know. But since then,
83.
Yeah.
83 people.
It's crazy. Either.
Yeah, released, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, either released or furloughed. That's crazy. Agents included.
You basically start a company with the amount of people.
Yeah.
You really could.
You probably could.
I mean, AEW
start a company
has
with 20 of them, not even.
I mean, AEW has 87 teams.
Yeah.
That's scary when you think about it.
But then you also got to look at the impact this is going to have now. Like, of course, you know, they said that live schedules kind of get messed up now. There's a lot of other things that you got to take into account, merchandising. You know, are they going to go back in, you know, in full kind of, I guess, normalcy, quote unquote, if they can? I mean, of course, we saw recently the biggest, I think, thing that they recently done was barricades. And, of course, those little, like, the plastic shields. And then, oh, they have the you know, the staff that's there to actually go ahead and be the audience. Which is pretty, I mean.
What is it? WWE's using Performance Center people.
Yeah.
And AEW's using actual talent, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. I do want to step in about this, though, because I don't know if I made this clear before, but I think, this is the second week they've been doing it? Second week.
Oh, WWE.
And, yeah, in terms of how they have it set up
it's now. It's either second or third.
I have a feeling it's the second. It's still taking a bit of getting used to. I feel like it might be the third week. I'm not too sure. But anyway, I think from the get-go, this kind of situation was already going to affect live wrestling. They've transitioned the conversation from being about when are we going to have a kind of live arena setting that people can get used to. Can we even have television shows? As you remember, WWE achieved a month full of programming with the intent to fill TV content. AEW had done the same thing too. And at one point, you know, we thought, you know, how much content can they fill up? What happens when they go through everything? And luckily, I guess it worked out for both companies that they were able to do live shows to an extent. Of course, WWE's taping them, airing them a couple of weeks later. But the trend, you know, it's still heading in a positive direction in terms of, you know, when are we going to be able to have crowds? They're working with the best of the situation. I think, after a few months of finding their footing, I think finally maybe they're in a place to where they could comfortably churn out content. Now, the way WWE is doing this, it gripes me a little bit, mostly because of the way they have the audience laid out. Keep in mind, they don't even get any chairs. They have to stand for 3 hours watching Nia Jax wrestle, which is just inhumane. But
that's amazing talent.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, and the point I wanted to bring up is that the crowd reaction, if you watch the WWE against AEW, the WWE crowd reaction is way more forced. I mean, they might as well be carrying boo and applause signs in the ring and just following cue cards for all I know. Everything about AEW feels so forced. And
AEW is like natural reaction. Yeah.
AEW is doing it smart, and it's because they're actually having their talent interact with people in the ring to an extent to where they can actually further storylines or even start storylines on that alone.
Look back a month ago.
It's just noise for the sake of noise.
Yeah.
I mean, look at a month ago. Jericho had an interaction with one of the fans, quote unquote fans. Turned out to be, it was Pineapple Pete, who's an actual wrestler.
Yep.
Yes, he is. I actually know him as Sugar Dunkington from Shikara, actually.
I'm waiting for the guy Nasty Leroy to sign a little contract with AEW. He's one of Joey Janela's friends. He's been in the crowd before.
Really?
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, I guess in terms of the shows, too, because truthfully, I haven't really watched much of NXT lately. I've been mostly into AEW, mostly because NXT you could probably go on and watch later on, whereas AEW, you can only catch it in the moment, and maybe sometimes they'll replay it the Saturday morning, but that's not always a given.
Well, if you have the TNT app, you could watch it the next day also.
That is good to know.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But, you know, that being said,
the more you know.
availability is key. But I think there's nothing better than watching the show as it's happening.
Yeah.
And
well,
still have
there's
that
a question for both of you guys. When 8 o'clock comes on Wednesday, what are you turning on? TNT?
AEW.
Well,
or USA?
Fact, yeah, matter of fact, if it depends. I mean, here's the thing. When I was watching, when they had the whole cage fight thing going on, I was with the Matt Riddle's last match. That night, I went ahead and just tuned in for like the first probably 5 minutes. And then after that, I just switched back to AEW. So I had both of them on two different screens. And I was just simultaneously watching it. Or if you have cable, of course, yeah, if it was 10 years ago, PIP, the first picture-in-picture function. Bring that in, be able to see that stuff right there. But if it was based on like what was going on, AEW probably. Whether they had a commercial, whether they didn't have a commercial, NXT was on commercial or something, I'd be watching AEW all the way.
Well, that's the one thing I like about AEW. They always have the little picture when it goes to commercial break with what's still going on.
Yeah, that's true.
Whereas WWE, and if you'd noticed, they've been doing that on the main roster now, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I realize that.
Bring it on Raw. I mean, it's nothing new. If you remember SmackDown Live when it was on Tuesdays, they had been doing it for a time. It's a good way to keep people tuned in without necessarily drifting away to other channels. And, of course, it's a tactic that both WWE and AEW are going to be using, you know, going against each other, literally battle for battle. I haven't kept tabs on the viewership numbers, but I'm assuming
AEW beat them. Yeah, AEW's is still beating them, but I think NXT won like 4 weeks maybe in the last 2 months.
Yeah. I think from
now,
yeah.
I wanted to raise a question to you guys. Why do you think NXT is struggling to overtake AEW in terms of the Wednesday night battle slot? Because if you look at their product is top-notch stuff, if not even better in terms of in-ring quality as opposed to AEW. Is it a matter of AEW putting on a more enjoyable product, or is it just the mass appeal to what AEW puts out as opposed to a hardcore, quote-unquote, demographic that, you know, caters to NXT?
I think here's the thing with this. The biggest problem I think they have is the fact that what WWE does is they look at what's going on with AEW and they respond by doing it on the main roster, when actually they should be focusing on what they're doing on NXT. Because the thing is, they always look at Raw's ratings, they look at SmackDown's ratings, the main roster ratings. But this is your direct competition on NXT, and you guys are trying to implement whatever you're trying to do that should be done there at NXT. That's being done on the main roster. It's like, you know, you brought up the whole PIP function thing going on and all that stuff. They had a perfect, you know, opportunity. They could do that with NXT, but they choose not to. But then it's a number of other things, too. I think one of the big things also is that they just keep on trying to, I guess, you know, and you guys probably see there's so many ads for NXT. Like, they've been pushing so many ads for NXT since they've been losing in the ratings. Like, oh, you know, this is another brand, you know, this is so fucking good, whatever. And then, you know, you see AEW, they always have their own ads, but very rarely do I see ads about AEW. Probably the most that I see it is probably online. So I think it's also the way that they're achieving that. Whereas WWE's going towards more like the whole traditional route, they're stuck on Nielsen ratings. They're like piped in, and, you know, they're pumped up to that, you know, they're just hooked up to that Nielsen IV machine, you know? Like, oh, you know, this is all Nielsen ratings, all shit, you know? But then AEW's kind of like, nah, fuck that. We're not trying to worry about Nielsen ratings. This is not just Nielsen ratings. We're also trying to be online. We're trying to have a presence everywhere. And that's what they've done so well. Whereas WWE is just sticking to, okay, let's just try the same thing that we did before. Let's just try, you know, the whole, you know, the TV route. Everybody probably has a TV. Families just sitting around the TV, even though it's just a pandemic. But that's bullshit. Everybody has a phone. It's all online. There are other ways to get viewers. That's just me.
You basically fucking hit it right on the head.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty on point. It's just the point I wanted to bring up, because I always find it interesting, because for the longest time. And don't forget, NXT has been running strong, kind of like us, since 2014, 2015. Kind of looked at as the, whatchamacallit, I'm trying to think of the right word to use this. Like the, not the king of the indies, but like the kingdom of the, kind of that place where you go to, you know, when you feel the need to validate pro wrestling.
It's kind of like,
NXT has done that over the years consistently.
It's kind of like, now, yeah, it's kind of like how, to add on to that, it's like saying, okay, NXT is trying to be Walmart, whereas all the other, I guess, you know, other promotions are trying to be Dollar Tree and all this other stuff. This is kind of like, all right, you know, here's a, you know, smaller production, smaller whatever, the value's here, and X, you know, they're just trying to upsell it. I guess it's just an upsold indie product.
To be 100% honest, I think NXT is better than Raw and SmackDown.
Definitely, without a doubt.
I mean, most weeks I'll agree with that. Just some, I think, I mean, let's face it, SmackDown on Fox is a total joke, no matter which way we go about it. But Raw, most of the time...
I don't even watch SmackDown live. I wait till Saturday. Yeah. I catch it on Hulu.
You know what it is? It's that Disney money.
SmackDown's had an identity crisis ever since they switched over to Fox. My gripe with it, and it's been since it's aired in October, it's safe television, corporately approved, great for the family. But nothing really beyond that. Of course, you have some exceptions here and there. Anything with involving Daniel Bryan is usually a great wrestling match.
The best match since SmackDown went to Fox, and you guys could probably both agree with me, was Daniel Bryan versus Adam Cole.
Definitely. That sticks out.
Very true, and I think that's not even close to being a coincidence.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Raw, you know, this is the thing about Raw. Raw was... at one point, the worst 3 hours of television. Yeah. If you go back not even 2 years, or maybe even a year ago, it was a struggle to watch. Like it was.
Oh yeah.
Flawed. No consequences. No. It's just a very frustrating watch.
Definitely.
Now, over the past year, ever since Paul Heyman took over the creative reins. You kind of saw it gain a little bit of momentum, and I always think back to that Lashley Strowman spear off the stage that basically made people turn around and be like, "Whoa, wait, what's happening?" So ever since that point, you know, Raw, before the pandemic at least, Raw was kind of gaining momentum as a brand in of itself. I even called out. I remember tweeting one week, I was like, wow, you know, Raw might be the best thing going. Even NXT last week was kind of meh. And while Raw has kind of maybe fell off a little bit, the consequences of the pandemic have probably affected it negatively.
Yep.
But, I mean, for what it is, for a three-hour show, we've definitely set that through a lot worse. While I think it could be better at points, it's still pretty entertaining.
Can I just bring up one moment that everyone could agree was the worst Raw ever? Mike Adamly.
Anything with Mike
Adamly. Well, yeah, the moment he said Jeff Harvey.
Jeff Harvey, fucking. Yeah. I'm telling you. But, I mean, let's think about this, too.
Mahal,
yeah.
Do you remember him?
Yeah.
Eva Marie announcing Jinder Mahal.
Ginger Mahal, yeah, I remember that. Fuck, man. They fucked up really bad with that. It's like, come on. But then, I mean, here's one of the things, too. I mean, we talked about ratings. We talked about, you know, all the backstage stuff and everything. What about this one thing also? So, recently, they brought up Matt Riddle to the main roster. And they've said this constantly. Yeah. If you look at, like, Ricochet, you look at all these other talents that they had, Owens and all that stuff. Basically, any talent that made it big on NXT and then gets pushed to Raw... or SmackDown, it's kind of like, you know what? It's Vince's, you know, it's basically the same situation. Vince's new toy, and then if he likes it, he'll play with it. If not, he's not going to play with it. What do you guys feel about Matt Riddle? Matt Riddle and this whole thing going on. He said on Twitter, he's like, I'm not going to get buried. But what do you guys feel about this whole thing going on with him and the main roster and how it's going to impact the ratings and everything?
I'll step in, I suppose. And I guess this was another point I want to bring up, mostly because of the nature of NXT call-ups has been a thing since 2014. Look at the whole entire main roster. It's basically the former NXT people. It wasn't until AEW came around that NXT has kind of had to hold on to what it has, and because they have competition now. But at the same time, you also have to feed the Raw and SmackDown brands. Now, they've made progress with this, dating back to last year's Survivor Series when they officially included NXT, to make it a tri-brand war. A suggestion that I had was that when it comes to the draft, it should be everybody up for all three brands, no matter what. NXT could benefit from having some of those people since they already have been through NXT, getting that main roster rub, on the up-and-comers could always be a good thing, and it could work vice versa. Send Adam Raw for a year, see what happens, shift things up. You could truly shift things up. Don't forget, this is WWE. They own everything. They own their own rules, and then they break their own rules, or they forget to follow them. They make up so many things, and then they don't even follow through. So if they did that, we would have a more unique product. Imagine a Drew McIntyre. I was gonna say Adam Cole match. They did that already. imagine it. For the Raw Championship. Imagine what that could look like. AJ Styles versus Matt Riddle, which hopefully might happen soon. Yeah. Now, in terms of Riddle's call-up, it's pretty interesting because we all know he has beef with Brock Lesnar. So the likelihood of them working together is probably not going to happen, just to keep those two parties separate. But there's a lot of really good matches that could happen down the road. Do you think Daniel Bryan, Matt Riddle, that could steal a show, that could be a main event, right? Nakamura against Riddle, that's like a dream match waiting to happen. But this is the thing about when NXT people go to the main roster, a lot of them, they tend to float, they don't really swim, and you know what I mean? Not that they're sinking, but at the same time, you also can't deny the fact that going to the main roster can make talent too. Let's not forget Braun Strowman. He was one of the first people to benefit from the brand split in 2016. He stood out on his own. And he had some time in NXT, and he was a Wyatt family member for a mostly forgettable feud with Undertaker and Kane. But when he had the opportunity to stand out on his own, the brand split was perfect for that. Alexa Bliss, she was just starting to find herself in NXT, it's kind of starting to get there, but, not quite there. You bring her up to the main roster on SmackDown, and immediately she made an impact. Elias, I think we can all agree his NXT stint didn't really do much. Of course, he had the last name Samson, but at the same time, you also have to think, for a time, he was a really good money heel, and, who knew singing with the guitar and insulting the town you're in could really take off as a character. I mean, you listen to the chants of Walk with Elias, that should tell you everything right there. So, it's a catch-22. So, being on the main roster could be a good thing, if you're an NXT person who's been in that environment for too long, maybe you're creatively starved, and you need something new, for people to pay attention to you. But at the same time, it's also about how you, being on the main roster for so long can be bad for your character. Look at Bayley. Until her heel turn, she was floundering in the role that NXT primed her up for. Sasha Banks has obviously had some success, but, she's fallen off a little bit. Because the main roster's environment it's good and bad. There's pros and cons to it, but I do think Matt Riddle will be one of those rare exceptions will he truly reach superstardom? I don't know. That's up for time to tell. But I think the chances are good, and I think you might stand out on SmackDown for a little bit as opposed to Raw.
I mean, here's one thing that I feel like. I mean, it goes back to this. If you see, was it in Royal Rumble? Royal Rumble of this year, Riddle was in the Rumble after Brock got eliminated and all this stuff. They made sure that Riddle and Brock didn't have any contact. He has a big mouth on Twitter. He said a lot of different things, and Brock specifically said, "I'll never fucking work with you." I mean, who knows? They might. You never know. Riddle's that kind of guy that was like, okay, fine. You say, I'm not going to, I'm going to show you. And he does it. He delivers on that. There was a spot in the Royal Rumble where I think he was supposed to, I think he just did a spot or whatever like that. And specifically, they took him out of the Rumble real quick. So Baron Corbin was there, took him out, and then there was this whole thing going backstage that's like, oh, Vince did that. Vince made that call because, he wanted to teach you a lesson. And he's kind of like, okay, cool. It's like I wasn't fazed by that, So I think it's also like, of course, if you're talking to Vince is going to have a certain idea for you. He's not going to go along with whatever's there. Who knows? Maybe 6 months from now, Riddle might be repackaged as something else. And then people get pissed, like, why the fuck? Why did this happen? God knows. But, we talk about, of course, call-ups, NXT. What about, I want to talk about this also, the two pay-per-views that came up. So, of course, we had In Your House, which we'll talk about also. But then also we had Double or Nothing. Basically a full year after, the first Double or Nothing came up. Now they actually, have gone ahead and blew it up, especially during this whole time going on and everything like that. They had a whole different matches, and they kind of followed the same format WWE had with the cinematic matches. What do you guys feel about AEW's pay-per-view and NXT's pay-per-view that recently passed?
Well, I personally think the AEW show was way better.
Double or Nothing?
Yeah.
I disagree, man. I think In Your House was better.
I think Double or Nothing was better. It had way better matches.
I mean,
NXT had the better segments.
I think there was a match I think they had on the it was the Elite versus Jericho's faction, right? And this hall had this whole thing going on and everything like that. It was on a football field. That was pretty interesting. That was a pretty interesting idea. It was pretty, it was kind of like, at the point, you kind of look at that and kind of say, they're basically copying WWE in a sense. But then it's also like, okay, fine, they're going at war with each other. Why not? It works perfectly. This is basically their equivalent of WrestleMania. They're going to make it a big show. They did. They did it with that big match and everything like that. And of course, if you're in the Inner Circle, it's probably one of those big things, you got to go ahead and sell everything. Everything's got to make a point. There was small spots in that match that was pretty interesting. And, it kind of brought back flashbacks like, okay, now this is more entertainment based. But then also at the same time, there's still some wrestling and there's spots and all that stuff too. With In Your House, they kind of brought back all the stuff with the different segments and stuff like that. Nick, I know you haven't gone ahead and gone full depth with it. Of course, in terms of all this other stuff that went on, it seemed like they kind of drew towards the direction of, okay, let's move forward from this. So, of course, we talked about Matt Riddle going on to the main roster. I think that's the kind of direction that they were going towards now, where it's like, okay, Matt Riddle's gone. It's not like, okay, if we lose one person, we're stuck with these other people. They're like, okay, no problem. You take one person from our roster, we'll make three more. Of course, Killer Cross had a big match. You had, Punishment Martinez, who now is known as Damian Priest, had a big match. Keith Lee really shined out of that whole pay-per-view as well. There was a whole bunch of spots, of course, a lot of different things, a lot of different style changes. Of course, they bring back a lot of different things, nostalgia and all that stuff too. But how do you guys feel with the pay-per-views moving forward? How do you guys like this format of Sundays being NXT pay-per-views? Or, do you like Saturdays being NXT pay-per-views? And how do you guys feel about that?
Well, I'll step in. Which is funny because AEW is kind of taking over that Saturday pay per view slot. I've always kind of liked Saturday as a pay per view day because traditionally speaking, and they were doing this even before the pandemic. As obviously everybody's out Saturday night, go to the bar. Most people don't have to be somewhere the next morning, so. you know, they can hang around, you know, and get people and get a lot of people, you know, enthusiastic about the product. I was wondering if Double or Nothing, I think, is AEW's equivalent to WrestleMania, you know, based on the reactions that it's garnered and given how it went last year. You know, if AEW is going to give like a WrestleMania type of feel to a show, I think Double or Nothing is a pretty good one to go with. You know, it's right in the middle of the year. And, you know, they could work their big storylines in. Obviously, at the big Inner Circle Elite Stadium Fest thing. So that was obviously the biggest feud on TV.
Yeah.
So to see it play out at Double or Nothing, you know, kind of tells you kind of where they look at things creatively. For NXT, you know, them being on Sundays takes a little bit of getting used to. Because I'm very usually accustomed to seeing them on Saturdays, like Fridays or Saturdays. Don't forget WrestleMania weekend, and you know they were doing takeovers on Friday nights and Saturday nights. So we were getting used to that kind of feeling on a Sunday when we're so used to, you know, main roster television. You know,
well, the Friday one was only that one time.
Yeah.
Friday was that one time because it was the New Japan ROH show.
And that was one of the best takeovers.
It really was.
It was, yeah. That takeover shine, I think, that whole week. Despite, I mean, you know,
and,
New Japan did put out something quality. But,
everything.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't think that, I don't think that's by accident. I think it was because it was a Friday night. So, Friday nights are good nights for takeover, too. Don't forget, because, you know, how do people usually feel when they leave work on Fridays? They feel excited. You know, they want to go out and celebrate.
Yeah.
What better way to celebrate than to watch wrestling? Saturday, you can still kind of take advantage of that, but it might be harder to get people out of their houses into somewhere. Whereas Friday night, if you get them after they're leaving work or if they're leaving work to go somewhere, they're more likely to actually head to that social gathering instead of, you know, nah, I gotta leave my house. Those people get lazy on Saturday mornings, and then that leads into their afternoons and evenings. So the whole dynamic of the viewing experience is interesting. You know, like I said, NXT TakeOver on Sunday is still a little bit new. Still takes some getting used to. But I think AEW is really thriving on Saturday. And I think that's just going to just be the case. You know, for good, it seems like Saturday is their very popular pay-per-view day of choice. And it makes sense. They've run with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, Sundays is different because, you know, most people have to get up Monday morning. You know,
yeah.
They might not be able to, you know, go back and rewatch some stuff. Whereas Saturday, you could be like, oh my God, I really enjoyed that match.
Yeah.
I have to go back and watch that again.
That's true.
You know,
I mean, the one smart thing Vince did do within the last couple years was the two-night WrestleMania.
Yeah, it was.
Because we didn't have to sit through friggin' 23 hours of WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It was broken up
mm-hmm.
Saturday, Sunday. I actually enjoyed that.
Yeah, I mean, here's
but
what
I do think,
yeah,
I do think that's a one-and-done.
I
think you should. I think it's viable. It's
Triple
a viable option.
Triple H said, I want to do it next year.
Yeah, it should be like that from now on. I mean, if it's one thing, I think, like, Rich, I think, can relate with this. When we left Final Battle, I don't know if you remember this. We talked about this on the show also. This guy was running around
Rich,
Fifth Avenue with streamers. Yeah.
ProWrestlingTees.com.
Yes, yes. I mean, of course, yeah, we were walking out of
yes.
out of Hammerstein Ballroom. Yeah,
Look, I had to.
Yeah, got to plug it, man. But then, yeah, he just, like, you know, this guy was running down Fifth Avenue, and I'm thinking, it's like, holy shit, it's Sunday, it's Monday tomorrow. This guy's got to go to work tomorrow. So it's kind of like, you know, if you could do that on a Friday or Saturday night, hell, that's even better. You know, you could do that shit. You could run around Manhattan if you wanted to with streamers and everything and get super
Yeah, I remember.
Fuck it.
That was Friday night going into Saturday.
Friday night to Saturday. So that was, you know, sure, fine. You know, that's okay. You know, you can get lit in the, you know, that night, and, you know, there's no repercussion. No problem. Cool. Tomorrow's not Monday. I have to go to work. It's cool.
Just as long as you're not that annoying bitch with a Natalia shirt who just
exactly.
stood up in the middle of
exactly,
everyone.
Exactly. Oh, my God. All these fucking characters in this fucking audience, man. It's crazy. But, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you kind of look at it and say, okay, you know what? You have your whole week. For us, the fans, is better. It's probably better for us because we look forward to Saturdays and Sundays. We look forward to the weekend I think we all say, okay, you know what? I'm going to get something there. You know, it's like, okay, you have your whole work stuff going on. And you're like, oh, man. But it looks it's something to look forward to, basically. You look forward to it. You're kind of like, all right, you know what? I know there's an AEW pay-per-view this week. Oh, I know there's a WWE pay-per-view this week. Cool. Do you ever think there will ever be a pay-per-view?
AEW does. I don't know if you guys actually catch it. They have an AEW countdown leading up to the pay-per-view that same week. Like the events that led up to this match.
You're talking about AEW Dark?
Yeah.
Dark, right?
And this is something interesting too, because before Revolution, I was actually watching the pre-show.
I think it's for like Road 2 and whatever the pay-per-view is.
Sounds like it. But, you know, something interesting about that is I found it to be such a great... I found it to be such a great watch, and it's weird because the video packages were so detailed, and it's like we were missing some of that characterization on the actual television product. Like, if they actually dedicated some of that time to those video packages on TNT, you know, on Dynamite itself, you know, I think the hype for the matches would have been even better. You know, why should fans have to seek out a YouTube video? You know, granted, all right, if they're already searching for what they want to see, they'll probably see it anyway. But, you know, it's if they expose their casual television audience to that kind of, you know, in-depth storytelling they could do outside of the ring, why not take advantage of it? And, you know, it seems like AEW hasn't let up on their video package approach. It's still very strong. Gives the characters a backstory. And some of them need it. Because otherwise you don't really know heading into the match what's going on, why is this happening? You know, the rhyme needs the reason. And, you know, I think that's something that AEW kind of has over NXT. NXT is more known for their in-ring quality and for the most part character motivation, but not in the sense that they really need a fancy video package to get their character over.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I think, again, we bring that up. They're trying to diversify their pitch to the general audience, whereas Vince is just trying to please the, you know, like make it into a family program and all this other stuff. But, you know, if you look at 2010, 2013, 2012, you know, program that they had before, all that stuff, it was kind of cut and dry and people went, what the fuck is this? Like, you know, the casual, regular fan, you know, wrestling fan is kind of be like, okay, this is bullshit. Like, you know, it's not interesting. Let me just turn on something else. So, it's kind of like they're trying to please different kind of demographics, but then they have their ways of doing it, which is probably better for us. Again, as fans, we probably win, if anything. I mean, we talked about pretty much all this. Of course, one of the big things, I know a lot of deaths have happened too. So, of course, Shad Gaspard, you know, we got to talk about, of course, Hana Kimura, who recently passed from suicide. I think, again, it's probably one of those things too you kind of look at as, you know, all these talents that are passing and stuff like that. It's a stressful time. But then on top of the fact, there's a lot of this stuff that's going to happen. And, you know, you kind of look at that and it's kind of tragic when you see that stuff, you know. What do you guys feel about the wrestling community's response to that, and also how they've, I guess, embraced it, but then also brought it into their storyline? Do you guys feel like all these title changes that have happened are a result of that, or do you feel like it influenced it in some sense?
I think it's just the coincidence of the ethnicity of the performers, because, it's not like they haven't been fighting for titles, so it's not like you could say they haven't been afforded opportunities at championships, but now that they just happen to have them, I guess it's good timing.
Yeah.
But I did see a post on Twitter today talking about how all five WWE women's champions are POCs. And, you know, somebody commented, well, wait a second, why are you calling it a Japanese person a POC? It's technically politically incorrect. But I guess they're just looking at the bigger picture. Yeah. But I don't chalk that up to ethnicity. I think that just happens to be a bonus coincidence. I think it just happens to be that they're, you know, really good in the ring and they deserve a championship.
Yeah. I mean, of course,
sometimes they still, you don't really need an explanation, pigmentation to justify why somebody should hold a championship.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, causation is not. Correlation is not causation. I mean, that's true. It's one of the things too. I mean, you saw AEW. They had a Japanese woman win the title. Of course, they had this title change. Of course, that happened recently. Io Shirai won the title. I mean, I was fucking hyped for that. I was like, God damn, she deserved that shit. But then it's kind of like, you know, it's
worked out when Io won.
Yeah, that was probably.
Think everybody did.
Yeah, if it was that time, it was like you deserve it. That was probably the best time. But yeah, I mean, you know, speaking of that, of course, you know, there's a lot of different things, of course, going on. On top of the fact that we have other episodes coming out too, I know for sure we got the Titantrons episode that's going to be up soon. Video games that's coming up also. Talking about all the different video games and stuff like that. Talking about what's moving forward. Yeah. Yep.
Why don't you introduce the fans to the new show? Back to the new show,
the segment
thing that we're doing, and I'll explain exactly what it is.
Yes. So we have this other kind of series that's coming out. It's called The Clean Finish. So, I mean, it's one of those things, again, we're trying to diversify. There's different things that we have. We've done reviews, we've done topics, but I think this is going to be something a little different that goes into a different realm of what we got to talk about in terms of wrestling. It's a different kind of thing, but Nick, big guy, you got to explain it, man. Tell us what that's about.
All right, so basically the name of this new segment we're going to be doing is called Clean Finish. As you can tell, we're wrestling fans, it's a wrestling show, wrestling terms. Basically, what Clean Finish is, we're going to have, it's going to be about an hour and a half tops, about one specific topic. No scripts, no talking about it prior to the show. It's just whatever we feel off the top of the head. I'll give you guys a little hint. Our first episode, which we're going to be doing tomorrow, I don't know when Sal could have it up. If you can have it up as soon as possible, that'd be great for you guys to have a great listen. Since, you know, New York City's back to opening again, you guys listen to it on your way to work. It's a great listen. The first episode is going to be very controversial. Chris Benoit is our first episode.
Benoit. I mean, of course, there's been a lot of different programs that have come out in terms of documentaries and stuff like that. There's been a lot of different kind of sports documentaries that come out. You know, MJ has this whole thing with the NBA. They've, you know, of course, that now that COVID's coming in, of course, Netflix has a lot of stuff. WWE has come out with a lot of documentary pieces. You know, The Dark Side of the Ring, which is a pretty interesting piece as well. Hats off to them, too. But, I mean, this is just something that we're just going to be doing commentary on, of course, all the different things that are going on a specific topic. Again, just doing a clean finish, meaning, of course, you know, just going ahead, just talking about that one issue and then just kind of laying out the facts and then, of course, giving our kind of views on that as well.
It'd be one full show, basically.
Yeah, definitely. But, I mean, yeah, nonetheless, I mean, of course, you know, before we go, I got to hand it off to NJF. NJL. Sorry, NJF. Fuck, man. I'm telling you. He's stuck in my head, man.
Close. Eva Murray.
Look.
Lordy.
NJL. Come on, man. You got to tell us about PWO, Pro Wrestling Opinion, and also about the Bugle, man.
Well, the Bugle is blowing up. the UK has become the new readership hotspot. Basically, to give you guys a sense of where we're at, usually averaging about 2,000 to 3,000 hits a month. So for anybody who's been checking out Music Bugle, thank you. keep doing it. It's a good thing.
Station head, listen.
Yeah.
Yes, that too. I also do a show. You can find me on Station Head at Nick Jason Lopez. You can also find me on Twitter under the same name. PWO, you might notice some occasional news posts about IWTV. I'm hoping to get back into the review game very soon. Right now, I'm actually watching the March 27th, 2017 edition of Raw. So eventually I should have that review up and ready to read sometime this year. And hopefully we'll get back into it with reviews. And as my content library is ever diversified, and basically going to be doing a random draw of whatever events I want to cover. So whatever gets picked is what I'll end up writing about, and there is a lot of stuff that it could go down that avenue. So it's something to keep an eye out for.
Definitely. And then, of course, I mean, like I said, we are also on all different platforms. Again, you can hear us anywhere. You can hear us on, you know, whether, you know, you're taking a shower or whatever. You know, you have your thing on. You're working out or whatever. You know, you're taking a walk. You can pop open all the different platforms that we're on. Of course, we're on Apple Podcasts, Android Podcasts, Spotify. There's a whole bunch of other podcasts we're on, too. We're also on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network as well. And there's also, you know, a whole bunch of
others. Just thinking on Podcast One.
Yeah. Of course, Podcast One, we're going to try to get there soon. But then also, like I said, you can also hear us on Pro Wrestling Opinion, and also there's other sites as well. On top of the fact, we're also on Instagram, we're on Facebook. Of course, Rich is the one that runs the Twitter page, and also the we co-run the Instagram page and also the Facebook pages. But beyond that, I mean, of course, any questions, any requests or anything, be sure to let us
on
know.
On Instagram,
yeah.
Thing called Superstar of the Week.
Yes.
Where every week I take out, so not all three of us, we decide on a different superstar, and I pull a picture about the week of that person. I pick one about next week, Nick picks the next week. By the way, your guys' picks for the next few weeks.
Yep, definitely. And again, if you have any kind of reviews, questions, anything like that, any kinds of requests, be sure to let us know. If anything, you can always contact either one of us.
On a request for an episode, shoot us a message.
Definitely.
Pick one of your episodes in the future.
For sure. But if anything, this is the Arsenal Wrestling Podcast. This is the Mastermind Sal. We got the big guy, Rich.
That's the big guy.
And we got also NJL, the Nick Lopez.
Peace out.
See you guys out.
See you guys.